the greatest city in the world. This is Tanya and Steve. We get up, we get dressed, waking up Newcastle's best. Live and free, Triple M's Tanya and Steve.
Good morning.
Hello.
Welcome to Thursday. How yes. are we all?
It just feels like the week's flying, but don't they all?
They all do, Stephen.
They all do, Tanya.
Just it's coming up to April soon.
Oh, you know.
It's insane.
It's Easter.
A week away.
My mother and father said to me on yesterday, they called in for a cuppa.
Yep.
And they said, wait till you get to our age. Oh. You start Monday, you turn around, and it's the weekend again.
Oh, I tell you what, I can't wait.
Sounds like a hokey pokey, doesn't it?
Well, it sounds bloody great. It's like, oh, no, Monday, Friday, great.
But they reckon, honestly, I mean, it's
goes
a
so
thing,
fast.
Isn't it?
It is, and you know what? I got explained it and explained it years and years, and I've still never got it. There's an explanation.
Well, remember we spoke to Adam.
Spencer.
Yeah.
Adam Spencer, the mathematician extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Adam said the scientific thinking is when you're little,
okay,
when you're young.
Hang on, I've got to get comfy because here we go again at the end of it. If you all hear me go, all right, I still don't get it.
Well, this is what I took away from Adam.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you're little, there's like, say you're 10.
Mm.
There's 10 years behind you.
Yeah.
Mm. There's hopefully about 75 in front of you.
Yeah.
So the portion of what you've already lived is that much,
yes.
tiny much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you get older, you've got more behind you,
yes.
less in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and for some weird reason, our brains compute that and...
Yes.
Now,
and then you wobble side to side like I am because you don't really understand it, but you're trying to explain it.
As I said, everybody, I will now go, oh, yeah. Thank you, Tanya.
Yeah, well,
don't worry, I'm with you.
That's what Adam said, though.
I get told that constantly. That you know, there's two. You got Adam explaining that, and then your husband Michael going, "Hey, Steve, there's plenty of years behind us, far more than in front of us."
Yeah,
and it's like, "Oh, yeah, another drink there, Michael."
But I don't know. But Adam reckons it's the portion of what's in front versus what's behind.
Yep.
And it makes like it feels like it's speeding
that
up.
That is exactly what Adam said, but he said it with a little bit more authority.
He did.
So next time, Dan, you just back yourself.
There was
that's
no
exactly what he said.
There was no stage did he sway backwards and forwards, just going like no, yeah.
It kind of like
time, space, continuum, and all this kind of gear, and it's like yeah, righto. You're just getting old, and you forget that anything happened during the week. That's all it is. You just wake up, and then it's Friday because you forgot about the week because you're old. There you go. That's an easy way to explain it.
But it's terrible when the kids are saying, you know, because I used to think school years stretched into infinity.
Oh, same. But no, for me it was school days.
But in a good way for me. I loved it.
Yeah.
But now the kids say, oh, God, I can't believe it's the holidays again in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
So they're saying it.
Yeah.
So I reckon, the aliens are spinning us faster.
Oh, thank God. Thank God something responsible has been said.
Exactly
all that nonsense you said earlier, but that one I'm backing you. They're up there and they're just giving us a little spin like we're on a globe on a stick.
Honestly.
Yeah, no, but you're right. When the kids are going, geez, that week went fast.
Yeah. Aliens.
All right.
JustaCare. Customised mobility solutions in store or to your door. Steve's on the line.
This one got sent to me, Tim. A Tim.
Oh my Tim. God. Jeez, I look like a 29-year-old boy today, everyone.
This got sent to me by my son, Tim. Tanya.
Yeah.
So Tim sent it to me, which means it reached Holland before it reached here, which I think is kind of cute. But he laughed because even though my eldest son we're talking about lives in Holland, he watches all things Australia.
Yeah.
Anyway, he sent this to me this morning and went, hey, this is all right, Dad. You're going to go back to drinking VB? I said, why? Yeah, they got a new ad.
How does it happen? You're working from your room or you're meeting on Zoom. You can get it in HR or work in the gay bar. Men are the worst. You've sure got a thirst. You can get it binging. You can get it whinging. You can get it in suspenders. You can get it changing genders. You can get it drinking milk from anything but a cow. Matter of fact, I've got it now. Victoria Bitter.
There you go.
Where did that come from?
Don't know, but he found it. By the way, where did you get that? He goes, I don't know. Things roll around, Dad.
Yeah.
I think he's on some Australian little Insta that sends these kind of things out. But I love the fact that I got that via Holland, who, by the way, all still think we drink Fosters.
Yeah, that's true.
I love that.
That's very up to date. There's a clip that goes with it. It's kind of cute. I can whack it up. But but don't you love it? Men are the worst. I've got a thirst. Oh, I could relate to that.
Oh, very cute.
You got anything on the line there, Tanny? No? No. Okay.
How could you, mate? Don't make it follow that.
It's Tanya and Steve, Triple M. We've got a first interview to solve after this.
Start your day off with Tanya and Steve and save up to $100,000 with the McDonald Jones huge house and land sale on now. Turn it up loudly, cause Tanya and
Steve is Triple M breakfast. Now, listen, I want to tell you about a wonderful idea I think you'd love.
Right.
I know I would.
Yeah.
In Denmark, there are libraries where you can borrow a person instead of a book.
Right.
And you listen to their life story for 30 minutes.
Oh.
Isn't that wonderful?
Can I be the person you borrow? Well, no one ever wants to hear my fishing stories anymore. No one
you
can.
You could, actually, because they the goal is to fight prejudice, right?
Right.
So each person has a title. And you can go to unemployed person,
mm-hmm.
refugee person,
yeah.
bipolar person.
Really interesting fishing guy.
You could. You could put up, well, I wouldn't would say I mean really with, interesting. Let's not go into a false sense of story.
Guy.
Hey. I'll be there with a beanie smoking a pipe. They'll be like, he looks interesting.
But you listen to their story to realise how much you shouldn't judge a book by its cover.
I like that.
Clever. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
So
you
this,
don't think it's a little spooky, though?
Why?
Well, I get. I love the concept.
Yeah.
But when you're in reality,
yeah.
you're literally walking up to a stranger and listening to their story.
I love that.
You know, I know, but it's a bit like going to an old person's home, isn't it? You don't ask for it.
but in this situation, all I could—I don't know how. Like, all I'm seeing is a photograph of people sitting in armchairs,
okay,
in a garden setting,
right.
and they're talking to one another. So I just have this vision of, you know, all these people lined up with their little, you know. Old fishing tales
yes.
above them,
yeah, yeah.
signs, Ooh. And you come up and you go, hello, mm-hmm. I'd love to borrow you for 30 minutes.
The sea was angry that night, young girl.
We go and sit down.
I'm telling you, it's yeah. like visiting an old people's home.
Well, it is. It really is.
Get to hear their life stories.
Yeah, but these people are all various ages.
Right.
So, and it's only for a 30-minute snapshot, so it's not awkward for either one of you.
Well, a little buzzer goes and that's it.
Well, I don't know about the buzzer, but it would get awkward if someone was on a roll and, you know, an hour and a half later you're still there. So,
are you suggesting that you might want to leave my story?
Maybe. But I do love it. I love that sort of stuff because, you know, I love talking to people.
Oh, God, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder whether that could work here.
In Australia, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I thought you meant in Triple M building. It's like, oh, no. I'll have my little chair out there. What's wrong with Stephen? Why is he smoking a pipe? It's like, don't you want to hear his fishing stories? Because Danny won't let him do them on the show.
I wonder who does that, though, because people are so time poor these days. You know, like, who has time to go and listen to
those
stories? Tanya seems to find time, doesn't she?
I've got time.
I mean, it was
a child's left home.
You guys have no idea what we're going through at the moment. It was one thing, empty nest, a child left home. Now her husband's on the other side of the world.
He's left home, too.
Oh, dear.
Lucky you got a hen show this weekend.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, lucky.
Yeah.
Look out,
Michael, I'm on a hen's do this weekend. Anyway, how do we get from that to this?
I don't know.
Just the thought of you having a shoe at 1:10 in the morning excites me. Look at her go. But yes, Tanya does.
Beautiful.
You do. Yeah, I know, yeah. But like Rosie said, a bit time poor. Yeah.
I think there'd be
plus
people.
Plus I hate talking to people that you don't know, so it's like you've got to go
no,
up
no, in
and
this case,
off.
Mate, I think it's just then. A bit of listening.
Yeah,
not so much the talking.
You just sit and listen to someone's story, and the whole concept that not judging a book, I think it's wonderful.
Okay, here's the, okay. Now, you know my brain, I'm always 7 steps ahead, right?
Mm.
Here's what I don't want. I'm going in, and I'm walking, right? Now, if you look at a book you don't want, no probs. What about when you look up, and then you have to give them eye contact when you go, I'm not interested in your story, and move on to the next one?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
It's
like,
yeah.
Refugee. Nah, I'm all right. That sounds a bit sad.
Okay, well, maybe.
Do you know the eye contact?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
So you don't want to hear my story.
Rightio. Well, what I'll do is, when I build these booths,
yes.
there'll be a black curtain.
Good.
Oh,
and people
perfect.
Can sit behind the black curtain.
Oh, I like that.
And if you want to hear the story of a particular person,
mm-hmm.
then you can just reveal and
right.
say, would you like to come with me?
Kind of like confession. That's awesome.
If I don't
yeah.
have to give
so
eye contact. Because
like
I can't even go to markets and give eye contact to the market. I'll end up buying something out of guilt.
I
when they look at
that.
You.
I yep. do that too.
All right.
It's why you wear dark sunglasses and a hat.
Is that why?
Yeah, so you can hide under the brim of your hat and just go, oh, hallelujah.
All right. All right. Yeah. I don't mind the concept.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It just, yeah.
Maybe they should just do a day for it. then you can get excited about doing a day for it.
We've got enough going on. We've got enough going on the show, thanks, Tanya. if you're deciding to start a meeting, that's something we should do. All right,
I just love flying
in a plane. We're dating now, mate. We've got all sorts of stuff going on.
We've got lots of stuff going on, which you can win throughout the morning here with Tanya and Steve.
Don't forget your school tuck shop coming up.
Live and local from the heart of Newcastle, 102.9 Triple M.
Hello, Hamish.
Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Hamish.
Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning.
What's going on? Well, look, pretty shocking state of affairs when it comes to homelessness across the Hunter. According to the latest figures, Newcastle and Lake Macquarie, certainly the highest rates of homelessness in the state outside of Sydney, 2,200 people sleeping rough locally. That's over 400 more than the last survey, the census that was taken. Mayfield and Warrabrook, the worst suburbs for that.
Mm. And we just don't see it, do we? You need to hear it because we don't see it enough. Mm.
That's the problem.
It's a real problem.
Yep. And homelessness, of course, doesn't just mean, living on the street. It can be couch surfing as well.
Yeah.
So really, it is a growing problem. And really, with the housing supply not getting better anytime soon, unfortunately.
Did you guys see the story about a town, it's somewhere down near Merimbula, actually, and their local caravan park, it's now closed to tourists. It's council run. Did you see it, Hamish?
Yeah, I'm vaguely aware of it.
Are they putting up vans as somewhere to live?
Yeah, yep. Because it is council run,
good idea.
They have to use it for their own residents who are now priced out of or there's not enough supply of housing, and so they're homeless. They've made a tent city inside this caravan park, and they're not people that, that fallen on hard times and they don't have a job. These
reality,
are people with jobs and trying to manage kids going to school, living out of a tent.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, we're coming into winter, as we know, and it's just going to get ever-increasing, this issue.
What is going on? This, Australia, I mean, my goodness.
That's all right, though. We just went and bought a bunch of submarines.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
no.
true.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Hang on, you hear that, and then you hear the other.
Yeah. Crazy. Look, the story about the Maitland teacher who was charged with that alleged classroom brawl is receiving plenty of support, particularly online. I should say that he has been charged. But, over 4,000 people signing a petition online for him to keep his job. The 62-year-old's accused of assaulting the student. But he's since spoken out, actually, saying there are two sides to every story.
Of course,
I think everyone accepts that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And,
nothing
he can do. His face is out there now. We're in a smaller community.
Sure.
Yeah, he's got to do it mentally tough for a long time.
Mm. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Finally, look, the King's coronation is on the 6th, May the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there's nothing happening in Australia to commemorate that. And that does have a lot of people who are monarchists, pretty angry, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing. Like, when the Queen was coronated in, 70-odd years ago, there were celebrations all over the country.
Really?
Absolutely.
What happened here? Do you know?
Levels of government. Oh, well, I mean, there were days off.
Right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You mean
we're
not jumping up and down about a potential day off?
I know.
We should definitely have the day off to celebrate.
I'm suddenly all for it.
Yes. Talk to the bosses.
I'm outraged.
God save the king. Yes.
I'm now outraged.
Same.
I wasn't until you mentioned day off.
No.
You know that phone call, though. Look, let's just cancel it. The only band I can get is Hanson. Let's just cancel it.
Who is actually on the bill? Do we know?
I absolutely do not know. I can tell you about half a dozen of people who've said
no.
I did hear he yelled out, Gary Barlow. I think not.
Well, I think Gary Barlow is on the bill.
He is.
No, I'm sure he is, actually.
Yeah, he's become the new Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Turns up to anything.
I love that Queen turned him down as well, too. It's like, Queen, turn down the King.
Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently so did Kings of Leon.
Yeah, that's right.
He can't pull a trick, old Charlie,
poor
can he?
Charles.
No one's even giving him a crack.
Wow.
Poor old bugger.
I know. I kind of feel sorry for him.
Mm.
I mean, anyway, he's going to be our king. Until we change that fact, maybe we should, I don't know.
Well, I think.
Accept the fact that we are actually part of a monarchy. Anyway. Sorry.
Just put it on our calendar, though, Steve. We're having the day off.
Yeah, exactly.
What date?
Yeah.
May 6th.
May the 6th.
Done.
But I think it's a Saturday, isn't it?
What?
Oh. May 5 it is.
May 5 it is. Yeah, that's a Friday. Tea all good. We're going to ban away weddings. Can we bring this on the show?
We can.
I've had a guffle. Mm. I'm not going to Fiji to your wedding, all right?
The destination.
Have your wedding here.
The destination wedding is alive and well.
Yes, it is.
But when did it go from that's the honeymoon to... No, that's the wedding. All right? You get married here so you don't cost your friends and family a fortune, and then you go to Fiji on honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
Or Hamilton Island or anywhere else you want to go.
Yep.
All Amen, right. Steve. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
I'm with you.
I've actually never been to a destination wedding.
It's really costly and annoying.
Yeah.
Hey, hang on. Sorry, actually, I need to bring that back. I'm including Hunter Valley.
I was just about to ask, how far will you travel?
How much would
the
accommodation?
Hunter Valley is our backyard.
Accommodation. How much? Present. List is on.
I've got a destination
wedding. Have a wedding,
wedding
where I can drive home.
Well, I've got a destination wedding under your rules in May.
Where?
The Hunter Valley.
Oh.
The Goulburn. Yep. Well, actually, Wollongong.
Have you booked accommodation yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Is it one night or two? Do they make you do the two nights accommodation?
Two.
I don't want your love life to cost me.
I'm hearing you, Steve. I've got a destination wedding at Crescent Head in May.
Crescent Head?
Yeah.
There you go.
$900. You can only get there's big for the two nights accommodation because you couldn't book one night. And present. I have to get a new suit.
See?
Life is short. Celebrate love. Honestly, you are not going to get me. Sorry, I've got a problem.
I'll celebrate
with
my
You're
love.
You're not going to get me on side with this. I will go anywhere for love.
Okay, really? Then. Righty-o.
Thailand.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Okay. Remember, I had a destination wedding. I got married in Dublin.
Yes.
Oh, you did too.
Yes. But also, how many of your family and friends were there?
Not one.
There you go.
Point taken, Steve.
No, welcome on, Newcastle.
The next question should be, how many did I invite?
None.
I didn't invite anybody.
That's true.
See, and that's why I love you. You know.
Yeah, because you didn't want to inconvenience anyone.
That, I didn't.
Thank you, Tanya.
I actually did not even insist on Mum and Dad coming.
Yeah.
I did not invite one friend because I prefaced everything with, I'm getting married, I don't want you there because it's going to be too expensive.
My younger brother once got married, you know, well, you've met Matthew, right?
Yeah.
He got married in Vegas by Elvis. No one went, and geez, it's probably one of the saddest videos I've ever seen.
Was it? Him and his partner getting married by Elvis.
Sober.
Oh, wow.
Wow. It's a plan.
Have you got any thoughts on our destinations, weddings?
What's it cost you to go to someone's wedding? How far away was it? All that gear. I'm curious.
133353 with love to talk to you right now.
The furthest you've been for a destination wedding, where was it?
Because Tanya just said she'd pay anything for love, wouldn't you?
I would.
Yep.
Absolutely. I'd go anywhere for it.
Yeah?
Mm. 133353. If you've been a faraway destination for a wedding, we'd love to hear from you right now. I've been to Noosa before for a wedding.
Oh.
Or like the hinterland in Noosa.
How lovely.
Oh, good Lord. How much that cost, mate?
Pain in the ass, Steve.
Oh, I bet it was.
Yeah. What is wrong with you two?
You have the wedding here,
yep.
And then you go wherever you like on the honeymoon. What? Don't charge me for your love.
I didn't want to go on holidays to Noosa at that time.
Don't even like Noosa.
I bet you had a brilliant time, didn't you?
Had an awesome time. But that's not the point.
Crazy.
So I swayed very quickly then.
You really did.
She just, had a terrible time.
Hook, line, and sinker then.
I know.
And went, okay, you shut up. Okay. You've just ruined the argument.
Okay, so
you were on fire.
I was.
You've done Noosa. I don't think I've ever done one, to be quite honest.
I did Bundaberg once.
Oh, well.
Oh, that's fun.
And?
Oh, my God.
Brilliant.
Hot.
And fun.
Costly.
And fun.
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a bit of fun there.
I see. I saw what she was doing right.
She
jumped ahead of us.
Sucking you in.
It might have been okay. But anyway, but when did it change? Two things have changed, Tanya. So let's get married somewhere and make everyone pay. And the other one is don't let them get us presents here to register where you have to buy us a plate for $150.
Ben's in Newcastle. Furthest destination wedding, Ben.
Hi, how is? I went for a wedding with my fiance not too long ago, actually. It was at Coffs Harbour.
Yeah.
And I agree, it was a bit expensive after the full tank of fuel and the hotel and eating out for 2 days.
Yeah.
But did you have a good time, Ben?
It was a good time, yeah. It was really, really relaxing after the wedding and no stress.
Yeah.
No stress just out there and, yeah, it was relaxing. So it was worth it in the long run.
There you go.
Okay, well,
thank you, Ben.
I don't even know why you bothered ringing, Ben. He rang up saying it was outrageous, but it was worth it.
Katrina's at Glendale. Furthest you've been for a destination wedding?
No, it wasn't me. It was my sister and my niece, and they travelled all the way to Scotland for one of my other niece's weddings.
Right.
Wow.
And the marriage actually didn't last very long.
Oh, no, there you go. No, see, again, bad investment.
Uh-oh. What was it? Did they enjoy it?
Well, they had a holiday besides. So yes, they did.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, hey, come on. I love Scotland. It's just I want to go there when I want to, not when I'm told to.
Cheryl, destination wedding, where have you been?
China.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
That would have cost a pretty penny. Was it fun?
It was, yes. It was the very first time I ever went, and that's the reason why we went. We'd never been to China. Mm-hmm. It was for my then brother-in-law.
Ballpark figure on what the trip cost, Cheryl?
Oh, to be honest, I think around near $5,000.
There you go.
And was it worth it?
It was, yes. It was absolutely beautiful. I'll probably never go to China again, but at least I can say I've been.
True.
Amazing.
Okay.
See, she wouldn't have gone if it hadn't have been for the wedding.
For God's sake, save me, Glenn. So, mate, she keeps fooling everyone with that, but was it fun thing?
Where did you go, Glenn?
It gets a lot worse, Steve. We're off to Brazil in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Glenn! Well, this is good because you can't even tell if you've had fun.
Yeah, so we'll soon find out, I guess.
How much is it costing, Glenn?
Oh, I'd hate to think. I've got to do the sums. My wife's talking about.
Mate, yeah, can I ask, whose wedding, Glenn?
It's my son.
Aww.
Oh, he's married a Brazilian girl. Lucky.
Yeah, he's got a Brazilian girl. He's travelled the world multiple times.
Oh, I'm sorry, Glenn. I have to go high five.
Yeah, well done, Glenn's son.
He met a Brazilian girl in Sydney, and they've now had a little baby because we were meant to be going in 2019, pre-COVID, that got canned, so it was all booked, so that got canned, and we're all off there. And
you must be 3 weeks. So excited, are you?
We are. We're a little bit sort of, you know, it's a long way. The furthest I've ever been is Bali, so I'm not looking forward to 20 hours of flight time.
Glenn, I'm just on Webjet for flights to Bali. Can you get overtime where you work?
I work for myself, Steve.
Oh, my
God. I left an hour ago and I get home later tonight.
Oh, God. Well, Glenn, I wish you guys all the very best. It's going to be amazing. You'll love it.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. We're very excited.
Just watch out for those bird-eating spiders. They're as big as a dinner plate.
Oh, well, I've got to put that on the list because it's one thing I hadn't checked out. And thanks for that, Tanya.
That's all right.
Come on, mate. It should be your first thing when you go into Brazil. Everyone knows that, don't they, Tanya? Yeah.
Good on you, Glenn. Have a great time at your son's wedding. Yeah.
Since that other video went viral, now it's if from overseas to Australia. Watch out for those kangaroos that attack you.
Exactly.
How good's that? Look at all the destination weddings. And you're banging on about the Hunter Valley being too far.
That is true.
What did Tanya say at the start, mate? Never been on one.
Yeah.
You wait. When it's like a 15th friend of a cousin.
Yeah, I'm there.
$10,000.
I'm there.
That's the match winner.
Now, Tanya and Steve take you inside the gym. Callanan.
Hello, Jimmy.
Come here.
G'day. So, gee, that weirds me out, that intro, every time it gets me.
Inside the gym.
Yeah, it makes me a bit awkward too, if you're honest, Jim.
It's kind of like we're all Ant-Man and we're going into your orifices.
Whoa!
Oh!
Yum.
I'll leave that there.
Hey, a few changes for the team to face the Raiders this Sunday.
The Dom Young thing is a standout, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, that was a real interest, wasn't it? That has caught us all, I guess, a little by surprise, given what we know, what he does in attack. But a brave move from the coach. He was down on form. I mean, let's face it, he made some two very big errors. One of those effectively led to the try that really did seal it in the end of the weekend. And it doesn't matter who you are or where you are to spend, even with a number of players out, the coach is going to make some big calls. So I guess you've got to back him in.
Canberra, I mean, you know, they won last week. They're not on fire. They're certainly beatable, Jim.
Haven't they turned things around a little, though? They didn't start all that well, but, yeah, unfortunately, they're going to come up the road with a bit of form, and beating Cronulla is no easy task. We know that. But I tend to like this young guy, the blood nut, Corey Horsbrough. Have you seen his action this week? He's certainly no shrinking violet, the big blood nut, and I think he's going to bring a little bit of that with him as well. And I'd like to see he and Tyson Gamble perhaps just have a little bit of a coming together somewhere on Sunday afternoon. I reckon that could be pretty interesting because Tyson ain't going backwards when it comes to letting opposition players know whether they're going any good or not.
What sort of bloke is he, Tyson Gamble?
Fatty Junior.
Because he's everywhere, man, on the field. What sort of bloke is he? Do you know him, Jim?
Well, I think. No, I haven't had a lot to do with Tyson because he hasn't been in the squad all that long. But best described to me by those with him is the type of player you really love to play with and you absolutely hate playing against.
Yeah. You know, that goes the same for being a punter, isn't it? It's the one you hate when they're anywhere else, but when they play for us, it's like, yeah, go for it, Tyson.
Yeah,
100%. You know what? He was so honest with us post-game the other day. He was really good with MG on field and with us in the call. He basically said, look, I stuffed up. I made a couple of errors back into the game. I know that. Had his hand held high He knows they have to be better in those situations. He knows he has to be better because he's going to be in that position for a little while. We know that. Kalen isn't coming back in the short term, so Tyson's going to have that number six jumper to himself. And if he can tie up a few of those little errors in his game, it could have been a real different result on the weekend, but it certainly can have a huge impact on the Knights trying to do a job on Sunday as well.
Stand out to me, and we were at the game, Jim, last week, both Tanya and I are both looking, and there was a different excitement and a different maybe a piece of confidence in you watching it, but it's the two young, and I'm talking about the fullback and Gamble, have given us that injection of those two young players, isn't it?
Hey, how good's Lachie Miller been? Oh, he only played 7 NRL games last year. You know, that's not a huge sample size. So he came up the road with huge shoes to fill. You're going to be the new number one man for the Knights. Kalen Ponga's going to make the switch to the half. So there's a lot of scrutiny on him. Boy, oh boy, hasn't he stood up in these games so far? He's going to have to continue it, absolutely. But, gee, what he's produced so far we've really liked. But I still like another week for these young halves, Hastings and Gamble. I'm with you, mate. I got a bit more confidence out of what I saw because they really held their jukes up throughout that. I mean, the scoreline didn't really reflect that result.
No.
16 points in the end was not a true reflection. I think we'd all agree.
Jimmy, just quickly, though, you just said we're going to have to do without Kalen for a while. I thought he was only out for two.
No, I think this is pretty much an unknown.
Okay.
Until he gets that proper medical advice on where he is right now, what it could look like in the short term, if he copped another, I think everything has to be spelled out for Cullen to have a real true and proper understanding of how he then returns.
Right.
And again,
I just don't think we can peg it on 2 weeks, you're back after fulfilling all your protocols.
Right.
I think this is a far different scenario.
Okay.
And again, everyone wanting a public answer, and you won't be getting a public answer because they don't know themselves yet.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think it's probably a bit unfair. Like, I know, like, he's our highest profile player. He's our co-captain. We'd love to know how he is and when's he going to be back. Unfortunately, we can't get those answers until he fully knows. And I suspect that they won't get a clearer picture for that for the next couple of weeks themselves.
All right, we're running into the news. So one word answer, who's going to win, Knights, Raiders?
All right. I'm not going to back him, but I'll certainly be cheering hard for the Knights.
In that case, I'll do my usual tipping and go Knights.
Now, we are also doing Tanya and Steve's Date My Mate, finally. I've been trying to get this off the ground. Well,
years.
For years, actually, because COVID.
The day Karen and I separated, instead of saying, oh, Steve, that's terrible, I hope you're okay, oh, is Karen okay? She went, you know what we should do? Date My Mate. So it's about 4 years now,
Steve. It is. And then COVID came along and thwarted my plans.
Yeah.
So finally...
No matter how hard I tried, the COVID went away.
Finally, we're doing it. It's happening April 19 at the Exchange Hotel.
And you can win your invite just by going to the website at triplem.com.au.
And getting you to suggest your mate who you think should get a date. Not Steve.
Yes, that's correct.
I got sent this by Simone last night.
Who's Simone?
It's a listener on her Facebook page, right? And she said, don't mean to sound negative, but let's be realistic about this once you start dating over 40. And it says, step one, you meet someone. Step two, you cannot believe this person is single. Step three, you discover why they're single. And step four, repeat until you die.
Well, it's not going to go that way because we're going to make sure people find true love.
Is that not the best?
It's probably close to true, but that's not the point.
Repeat until you die.
Well, let's go back pre-40 then and talk about, just let's get in the mood for love.
Pre-40, because an interesting point on this. I use with Kat because I haven't had a date. I meet people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do one-on-one, you know. It's always been, hey, let's catch up there.
Oh,
and there's normally people around.
You don't take someone on a first date?
Not a first, no. It's usually a catch-up. So my date would have been Karen, my ex, back in 1854.
Yeah. Do you remember where you and Karen went for your first date?
Very expensive seafood restaurant that in Adelaide was on a ship that was moored permanently. You know, it was like a big old boat.
Yeah.
And it was seafood, you go in under and all dressed like Captain Cooks and all that kind of gear.
Sounds like your perfect first date.
Oh,
did she enjoy it, though?
I couldn't eat a thing, mate. Allergic to seafood. But the point is, no, she couldn't, believe it. She's like, we'd drive past this and we used to say to Mum, what's inside? And Mum would say nothing.
Too expensive.
It was just one of those.
Aww.
Yeah, it was very nice.
That's lovely.
And it was her first cocktail as well.
Oh, because she was, I think she just turned 18.
Yeah.
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 Just?
Yeah.
Or was she underage?
I was 48.
yeah, not bad in the best picture.
It sounds like yet. She's a child.
I know.
She had her first cocktail.
Oh, I know 40-year-olds that haven't had a cocktail.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
You're making her sound like a child.
Well, let's just say I met her when she was 19.
Yeah, and I met her when I was 29. That's true. 10 years apart.
Yeah.
Which we always say is weird, because then when you're 40 and she's 30, oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
But 29, 19, not so fine.
Yeah.
You ask her mum. Anyway, so that was our first date. So honestly, what was great about it is she just loved every part of it.
Yeah.
And it was a new world for her, all that kind of gear. How good is this? The seafood and all of that. And don't worry, so was I when I saw the bill.
Yeah.
Oh, my eyes sparkled. Oh, yeah, no, don't worry about that. But it was nice. It was wonderful. We laughed. You know what? We just laughed.
Yeah.
Laughed. She was the funniest. You know, that sense of humour she's got like me. She's very dark and dry.
Yeah.
And I go, you know, so you're a uni student studying this and everything like that. Do you ever go to protests? And she went, as if.
Yeah.
All that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, where did your Michael meet?
We met in London, and our first date was actually in Edinburgh.
Ah,
wow.
Yeah, so I still remember the day, and he took me to a place called Elephant Sufficiency, and it's a cafe.
Okay, sounds like a zoo.
I know, it's still there, actually.
Yeah.
And it's just off the Royal Mile there, and so we had lunch, and then we went to a place called the Camera Obscura. I've told you about this.
Yeah, I know, but that sounds chonky, doesn't it?
It does, but it's Edinburgh's first and oldest tourist attraction, and it is on the Royal Mile, and it's a tower of illusion. But on the very top is this Camera Obscura, and it's about light refraction. I don't know how to explain it.
What a cool first date to go on,
It was a very
though.
Cool like first date.
A cafe and then go and do this
I
cool
still
thing.
I need you to explain the camera thing more.
Okay, so you go into this room at the top of the tower.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big table and you stand around the table.
Yeah.
And because of light and refraction,
yes,
you can put your hand out, for instance,
yeah,
and the people on the streets down 7 floors below are suddenly walking on your hand.
Ah.
So I don't, it's all about illusion.
Yeah.
So I don't actually know how to describe it, but that's the best way I can do it.
So you looked just amazed with that, as Karen did with the cocktail.
Yeah, I was.
Wow.
Because he'd been there a million times before. He's a tour director.
That is cool, though.
So, yeah, that was our
first
date.
So he knew all the hot spots to take you.
Yeah.
So he'd taken plenty of women there before, had he?
Well, apparently, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he said, come into the Edinburgh Castle, there's a room downstairs I want to show you.
Hey.
I think I was female 175.
Yeah. Mate, never. Okay, here's a little tip for anyone. If it is a castle, always go to the room upstairs. Because downstairs is not good.
No.
Involves chains and locked doors. That's a good date.
Yeah, it was a great date.
Did he say when you were leaving, when you went, that was amazing, thank you? Oh, no, all the chicks love it.
I knew you'd love it because everyone else
pretty
does.
Much.
All right, here's
how
one.
Stupid was I, though, Steve? Because he did tell me. He was a tour director at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, do you ever get involved with anyone? He went, oh, my God, no. That is against the code. You just don't get involved with tourists.
Oh.
But wait a second, weren't you on his tour?
I was on his tour. But
made an exception for you, did he?
But apparently, and then when I met his friends back in Dublin about a year later, they're like, oh, my God, did Michael tell you? He had a woman in every corner of the planet.
There you go. We were right, Rise.
What a legend.
He told me that wasn't allowed. They laughed and laughed. I think they're still laughing.
I know, mate. Look, you should have stopped before we got to the truth. But see, at the end of my date, you know, I remember going, oh, look, you know, I'll do breakfast, so I've got to get home. It's early. She goes, yeah, I got school tomorrow.
It's Tanya and Steve, Triple M.
Start your day off with Tanya and Steve and save up to $100,000 with the McDonald Jones huge house and land sale on now. Turn it up loud because Tanya and Steve is Triple M breakfast.
Fly Bonza direct from Newcastle Airport to the Whitsundays from $79 one way. Tanya and Steve's Lunch in the Sky.
Yeah, so what we're doing, this is 1 week today, we'll be boarding the very first flight, Bonza flight from Newcastle to the Whitsundays. It's history-making.
It is. You'll be able to tell your grandkids, you know, when that started, I was on board that
first plane ride.
And Wendy at Valentine, you're going to be on the flight with us.
Woohoo! Bonza!
Bonza, Wendy!
Now, what it means, Wendy, is that you're on the flight, we're going to have lunch in the sky, but you need to pack your bag because one person out of the five will be staying for a 3-night holiday plus get $500 spending money when we get there.
And you won't find out until we hit the airport.
Yeah.
No.
So are you up for that?
Oh, totally. Totally. You know what, Steve? I'm really sorry to tell you, but I'm one of these people that work short weeks. That's my weekend off.
You what?
Work short week. Short week. How you bang on about short weeks?
How good is it, mate?
I get Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday that week.
There you go.
Wendy, just remember, though, you might have to turn around and get back on the return flight home with us.
That'll be a shame. But
yeah.
I'll have my bad
part. Yeah, you will. You still have a good day anyway.
That Wendy, is why I can't wait to go, because we'll go with a bunch of happy people and then we'll fly back with people just staring at us crinkly. It's only a 2-hour flight, though.
Hopefully I won't be that person staring at
you. Well, you've got to be in it to win it, Wendy. Yeah. So
absolutely.
At the very least, you've got a day out in the sky.
Yep.
We'll feed you, and then you get to come home and boast about it.
Now,
even that's fantastic.
Just on the special lunch, of course, because it's remember, everybody, we're on an aeroplane.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you like in cling wrap? A chicken sandwich or a salami sandwich? Either one.
I'll go the chicken.
Chicken it is. Yeah. There you are.
Would you like the chicken or the fish?
Oh, chicken or the fish.
Good on you, Wendy. We'll be there at Newcastle Airport with you next Thursday, and we've got a stack more invitations, stack more boarding passes to give away, Tanya and Steve, in the lead-up. Fly Bonza direct from Newcastle Airport to the Whitsundays from $79 one way.
And apart from the $500, Wendy, there's also a sailing adventure that you get to do on a giant catamaran if you get to stay.
Oh, can you make it any better? Like, what else?
No, we're just telling you things that you won't be able to do if you don't win. And you can just stare at us. I hope you don't sit near us.
Oh, God.
Yeah, good thing is we'll see you on board there, mate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That is awesome. Thank you.
Good on you, Wendy.
I want, for a show person thing, I want to run a book, like a bet book, on how quick Risey falls asleep when we take off.
Yeah, you are incredible.
It's going to be quick,
and
I reckon.
And that, my friend, is why you're in the middle.
Yeah.
Hey, T.
Yeah.
Well, which shoulder am I going to be leaning on? Yours, Tanya, or yours, Steve, or a bit of a mixture?
That's all right, mate. We'll both have little plastic things for the dribble.
Thank you very much. We're more boarding passes tomorrow morning from 6 o'clock with Tanya and Steve. Thanks to the At Hotel Group. Also, Cruise with Sundays for that Chimera sailing.
Care of it all. Get real. Get an all-steel shed.
A lot of the focus on Surfest this weekend will be on who wins the men's and women's competitions, but there's been a whole month of events in the lead-up, in and out of the waves. It really is a surfing festival along the Newcastle coastline, and we're a bit spoilt that on any given day, you can just see a host of surfing legends on the sand and in the water. For example, earlier this week, just a couple of former world champions in the expression session, Pauline Menza and three-time Surfest winner Pam Burridge, who was teaching some of our Merriweather World Tour hotshots a thing or two.
Yeah, I actually took a wave off Morgan Sibley. He was sitting there like, oh, Morgan's sitting there, this must be a good spot, I'll try and get away.
Do you just get priority there as a three-time champion? And Morgan, you got to win a few more titles before you can drop in on me.
It took a while. They're all looking at us. They're like, what are these old ducks in rashes out here doing?
<Ducks. laughs>
They're flying around. It was a laugh.
Surfing against other Surfest winners, against Pauline Menza as well, the former world champion, and like you in a way, one of the pioneers of women's surfing. Did it feel a bit surreal to be back in the water at Surfest?
Well, in a way, but because it's, you know, it's not really a heat, it's not really trying to wind back the clock, but it was really good to see them. And we're just trying to do a bit more of that, because since making Girls Can't Surf Minute In, if you guys out there haven't seen it, go see it. It's about our history of the sport and just a time when we were all battling out on tour and trying to get some rights for the women's events and stuff. Since that, we've been rebonded again and we see each other a bit more and realise that we're all important part of each other's story, and you know, we've got history, but we love each other.
Now, that movie Pam mentioned, Girls Can't Surf, talks about the days in the 80s where they would cancel the women's surfing comp but keep the bikini contest. So that's the sort of attitudes they were fighting against. And Rise, I know your daughter surfs. In 10 years' time, the opportunities that she could have wouldn't be there if not for people like Pam.
Absolutely. They paved the way for females in sport, equal prize money now. And they used to also send the girls out, like if the surf was rubbish, I was like, oh, they'll send the girls out there and wait for the better conditions for the guys. So now if you're watching like the World Tour events, they send the girls out if it's pumping, they, you know.
Equals.
I heard if it was rubbish, they send the masters out.
That's the other really cool side of Surfest, all these legends back to town, like old boys back in the footy. So really cool this week.
Today, obviously this week, especially in our region, students and teachers and discipline at school is very much in the news.
Mm.
And you know what I'm referring to.
True.
Yeah, but we thought on, well, Throwback Thursday, we'd talk about detention.
Mm.
Because that used to be one of the main forms of punishment.
Yes.
When we were at school. I don't even know whether they do it anymore, do they?
I'm not sure. It's funny to say that. I think at best they just turn off their Wi-Fi or take their phone away. I don't know.
I don't think they'd be allowed to do it anymore.
Well,
like after, you're talking like after school detention?
I'm just talking about any kind of detention.
Lunchtime detentions I remember getting at school, but that was just like you had to stay in the classroom.
Mine were always after school and on Saturdays.
Weekends.
See, that blows my mind because I do remember the after-school detention. Like, you'll be staying back an hour.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yep. I was in a few of those myself,
mm-hmm.
mainly for talking too much.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah.
But the weekend detention, I did not know that was a thing.
I did not go. So, again, and it just, you know, I just created hell for myself. But, yeah, that was a real thing. Yeah. Be, yeah, and
is that just Queensland?
So a teacher? No, I think so. I think surely. Well, actually, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. We've got a little bit of time. We'll throw it out there. 133353. Did you ever get weekend detention? So you had to go into school on the weekend.
I can
and
tell
sit
you
in detention.
I can tell you, right? It was Doug Greeny. All right, he was the vice principal, and he was the one that always did it. Now, I don't know why. Maybe there was something, but for some reason, if it was on, he would come in if there was a weekend detention. It wouldn't be on your own. You know, there'd be a class.
Sure.
but he'd just come in and do what you like, gang.
I reckon he had a very unhappy marriage myself.
No, I reckon he must have been running a business. And I remember it was pre-internet, but I reckon he was just running a business from the back of his station wagon or something.
How bizarre.
In the school grounds.
I don't...
And you'd go in for an hour or whatever, and he'd just go, oh, do what you like.
So it wasn't a big deal, but you still had to give up time and go in on the weekend.
Weird as, isn't it, when you think about it?
Did we do that in New South Wales, people?
I don't know.
Come on.
133353. If you ever got weekend detention, we'd love to talk to you right now. If it happened, if it's a thing, or even if you heard of it.
And we don't mean, like, the prison farms where you, you know, you've committed white-collar crime.
No.
And off you go to the prison farm for a weekend stay.
Yeah, maybe I was in training.
It mustn't be a thing because the phones aren't ringing.
No.
After-school detention definitely was a massive
Yeah,
thing,
definitely. The after schools. But yeah, definitely I remember a couple of weekends with Doug Greening. And I call him that because we become quite good mates.
Wow.
You and Doug Greening used to hang out every Saturday morning.
G'day, Doug. But, okay, on timing, though, too, and it was when Breakfast Club, it became the cool thing. It was almost like if you got to do that, and I'm pretty sure the Breakfast Club was a weekend attention, too.
Right.
Do you remember the Breakfast Club,
the movie?
Right?
Yeah. But did you actually go, did you?
I went to one.
Right.
Yeah, normally didn't turn up, no. But yeah, I did go to one, and I actually thought, well, this isn't so bad.
Okay, well, Nathan is at Warners Bay. Did we have weekend detention here, Nathan?
Yeah, I was at St. Eddie's on East Gosford on the Central Coast, and they certainly had a 3-hour Saturday detention.
There you go.
Whoa! Oh, my God.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, Nathan, but it might have been a Queensland thing, but there you go, alive and well in New South Wales.
What did you actually have to do in the 3 hours?
Well, I was very good, so I never got one. Had plenty of friends who did, so it was rubbish collection, riding line, all that type of thing.
Yeah, well, see, that's why I love Doug.
He just
literally, Doug would just go, "Doug, do what you like, whatever." We just read mags.
Dennis is at Beresfield. Did you do weekend detention too, Dennis?
I certainly did, Tanya.
Where?
The unfortunate thing from, I lived down on the Horseshoe River of Brooklyn, and I'm going back over 30 odd years. Trains out of there was just shocking. So on a Saturday, I'd have to ride my bike down.
Mm.
Everyone knew I was in detention because I'd see my bike down at the station.
Yeah. Yes.
And what did you have to do when you were on detention?
Oh, just sit in the classroom. Nothing really.
I'm with you, Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis.
Because, let me tell you, okay, and I'm sure Dennis was the same, is the teacher that gets allocated to do that didn't want to be there either. Right, so they're like, do what you bloody like.
Well, hey, we're on a theme here.
Yeah, Central Coast
Paul's
theme.
Both Pauls is the Central Coast, and now we've got Sean, who's also on the Central Coast.
That's in that one school. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good. Where did you do weekend detention?
I did weekend detention at, it was called Martyr Day.
Okay.
Now, was it a 3-hour, 1 hour, and what did you do?
It was for 3 hours, and it was a Christian school, so we had to write lines from the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
yeah.
Sean.
Oh. I've just realised something. The common ground is they've all said it's 3 hours. Well, I left after one. Obviously, I missed the other two.
Well, do you know what? I do remember one of the punishments for after school, after school detention, when you had to stay an hour.
Yep.
We had to sit for that hour with our hands on our heads. for an hour.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah.
No.
We'd have to sit there.
We weren't tortured.
Yeah. We did. We'd have to sit there, and occasionally I was the one they'd say, the teacher would say, Tanya, hands across your mouth now, please.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd still talk with my hands on my head.
I can't tell you how hard I find that to believe. Tanya Wilkes, that her reason for being in detention was for being a yappity yap. I just can't believe you. Surely not.
Yeah.
Mine was because I didn't turn up, you have to come on a Saturday to double cruel it.
Yeah.
And the only way I could fix that was not turn up Saturday. But there you go. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe that.
You know when you bring something up and you think, okay, that's just me then. Mm. No.
Hey, but it's just the Central Coast.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get one Newcastle Hunter.
No.
Exactly. So we're just, good up here.
Yeah. Just the Central Coast.
Don't be proud of that.
It's Tanya and Steve.
Nerds.
Triple M.
Start your day off with Tanya and Steve and save up to $100,000 with the McDonald Jones huge house and land sale on now. Turn it up loudly because Tanya and
Steve are here. Let's Triple M breakfast. Coaching the night, you would have to say this year, T, that there's that promise of, hang on, there's a shift and it's looking good. We just need it a little bit more.
Oh, well, let's see if the coach is saying that. Good morning, Adam O'Brien.
Hello, guys. How are we?
Very well. How about you?
Yeah, good. Pretty good. We've had a longer turnaround. So, we've managed to get some good training in. So, happy coach at the moment.
You agree with that, Adam, that there's a little shift this, you know, like that game that we all said, one of the toughest games in defence and fought it. And last week, home game there, 50 minutes in, it's looking great. And it's just that little bit more to go.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, it's not crazy to think that we could be sitting here talking 3-from-3 had we been a little bit smarter in a couple of patches and executed a little bit better in small periods. I think for large chunks of the first three games, we've been a pretty tough footy team.
Mm. The you dropping Dom Young has fueled that speculation that he won't see out the season with the Newcastle Knights.
Yeah, I can put a stop to that. It's purely, form related. I think, Dom had a game there that he'd like to have back in terms of six errors in the game. So, look, there was two people that needed to respond this week. One was me, and I've done that. And now it's up to Dom to respond, which he has. He's trained really well since he's had the disappointment of being left out of the team. But I think that's a strong sign to the club that you've got guys playing New South Wales Cup that are playing well. Well, they're putting pressure on the guys up the top to perform every week.
A lot of talk, of course, Ponga we'll get to, but a lot of talk about Gamble and Hastings at the moment. Gamble, of course, we're all going, oh, we love it that he plays for us, but we hated him when he played for the others.
Yeah, it's funny. When we interviewed Tyson to come down, there was an incident when he played for Brisbane where he earned his team a penalty and the crowd let him know their displeasure. And speaking to Tyson, he said, I'm so not that guy, but I am for that 80 minutes. So he's a very competitive player and that's why we bought him. And I think, him along with Jack Hetherington, Adam Elliott and Jackson Hastings, they're all brought a very similar, demeanour, and that's, toughness and competitiveness.
And we're loving Lachie Miller too, Adam. Love watching him.
Oh, I'm loving him too, Tanya. He's 26 carries a game. He's just a little pocket rocket, and he again, competes on plays. He's a fit, tough, competitive kid, and that's what we want the Knights to be.
How good in the modern game, Adam, that we've got a fullback that runs straight forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's very little self-preservation in him. He's only a little fella, but that doesn't hold him back.
Yep. Usually I find these days fullbacks go up and down like a cow trying to find a gap in the fence.
Yeah, good way of putting it, actually. Yeah. I might steal that.
What about Kalen? Initially we all thought he'd be up for selection after this game, but maybe not so.
Yeah, I think it's really important, Tanya, that Kalen's a human being first. Mm. We need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to look after him as a son, as a brother, as a human. So we're doing that. He's in the hands of the right people. Probably the best thing I could do was let them, do their jobs, and we can get some clarity moving forward. But I think rushing this one's not the right thing to do. The right thing for Kalen's well-being is to make sure that he's okay, and look, will be guided by those guys.
Plus, I think, unlike other years, the depth of replacement there has given some positivity, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Look, we've been really happy with our next man up mentality. We've had to rely on that mentality a little sooner than you'd like. I think we're up to 25 or 26. This week going to be 26 players already we've used. But look, certainly some guys have come through our pathways and I'm really happy with how they're transitioning. And I think they've done themselves proud on the weekend when they came on and made their debuts.
I hope the answer to this next question is yes, because I'll be really disappointed if you don't do this. But I was watching the second show in season 3 of Ted Lasso yesterday and I was thinking, I wonder if Adam, when he has some downtime, he's into Ted Lasso, because I really hope so.
Oh, I'm going to disappoint him. I've never watched the show.
At home.
Get on board, Adam.
I will by the time I do another interview with you, I'll at least watch one episode.
Please.
I don't get a lot of time, but if you've given me the tip, I'll definitely go on.
You got him. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, mate.
And that mentality, of you just, when you answered that question about Kalen, the first thing you said, he's a son, he's a brother, he's a friend. I mean, that's Ted Lasso all over, Adam. You're nailing it.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, I should go and have a look at it then.
I don't mean to alarm you, Adam, but as you mentioned what I said earlier, if you are turning up to training and quoting Ted Lasso and Steve from Triple M, I don't know if they're going to have a lot of confidence in their coach. You know what bloody Steve said? You're like cows looking for a hole in the fence, you idiots.
Well, look, it's another fabulous day on Sunday. Weather's going to be great for a home game. 4:05 kickoff against the Raiders. Get out there.
Be a big crowd.
Yes, support our boys. Adam, thanks for chatting to us.
Yeah, no worries, guys. I hope to see everyone out there on Sunday afternoon. As you said, there's nowhere else you'd rather be at 4 o'clock Sunday other than out at McDonald Jones.
Exactly. Good on you, Adam.
Thank you.
Good luck, mate.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
There's Knights coach Adam Ted Lasso O'Brien.
Steve's right, though. I don't, like, they're not the same. I don't know what I've done.
Seriously. You mention it, right?
No.
But because Adam doesn't see it, he goes, oh, that's pretty good, right? That was on Ted Lasso last night.
We're here to be entertained. That's entertainment.
The E-Spot. What you got, mates?
Well, you were just telling me that Jeopardy as a quiz show, which has been running in America and the UK forever.
Massive.
Oh, there it is.
Massive in the States.
Massive, right?
To the point where I spend my time watching the Saturday Night Live send-up.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's hilarious, but that's the only reason I know the show.
Well, it's never worked here, you were saying.
No!
And I just had a quick look. Australian Jeopardy was last hosted by Tony Barber.
There you go.
In 1993, following earlier versions with people that I don't know, Bob Sanders, Mal Walden, Graham Webb, Andrew Harwood.
Tony's went for about a week, I reckon.
Yeah, well, it doesn't say, but it didn't work. You're right.
No.
But what they've decided to do, Channel 9 have just announced they will be doing a version of Jeopardy with a twist.
Yep.
So in May this year, the quiz will be filmed in the UK with Australian expat contestants.
Okay. So I'd like to try and make it look Australian.
Yeah. And Stephen Fry,
awesome. He's great.
He's going to be the host.
Man crush on Fry.
Same. So they will be screening it later this year or earlier in the new year.
Okay.
But it will be another attempt at getting Jeopardy. I don't know what it is about Aussies and our dislike, because we love our quiz shows.
I know. Is it too complicated, Jeopardy, sometimes?
If you don't know, it's where they give you the answer. You've got to come up with the question, and it always the answer. The contestants always have to say what is Triple M?
Yes.
What is Newcastle, New South Wales?
I don't know about too hard or just not as much fun for us. It's a hard one, isn't it?
It is. And, like, you've got to choose categories that you might be good at. And
you know, the other thing, the truth is, too, the mass of population in America.
Sure.
Is why things can stay on.
Yeah.
Whereas in Australia here, who doesn't like Family Feud? Come on.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it just didn't work because, you know, there's not enough people to keep a show alive.
Yeah.
Because we do like a good quiz
we
show.
We love it.
5:30, there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sale of the Century, Deal or No Deal, Family Feud, like you say.
Yeah.
Heaps.
What's on at the moment, by the way?
I don't know.
Well, there's that one where the coins fall.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a quiz show for dummies, I reckon.
I don't even know what that is.
You're not answering any questions, but it's a bit of chance.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I like gambling on TV in a way.
Right.
I can't remember what it's called, though.
Can't remember what it's called.
No. Anyway,
I don't have free to wear anymore. My antenna broke and I haven't fixed it yet.
I haven't got free to wear because I don't want to. the only one though, right? And I to this day still didn't get. If you want to throw in dummies, I still don't get Deal or No Deal.
The suitcase.
You choose one suitcase.
Open that suitcase. Oh, God, sack! You know, we embarrassed ourselves the other day, Tenny, because. And now, before I go any further, 99.9% of the time, we're right when we say Risey's a wuss.
We do. Yeah. We are.
Yep.
However.
But, look, this happened on, I think, a Monday or Tuesday.
Yep.
Risey revealed that he'd been chased by a wombat.
I've been chased by a wombat at Black Butt before. Yeah. Wombats are scary.
And Risey, you mustn't run very fast.
A wombat?
Yeah, wombat.
Did it catch you?
No, I had to jump a few things, though.
Wombats don't go fast, though.
But this one was like Speedy Gonzales. I swear.
I did mention after that, of course, he could just stop and then jump over it. But,
he was too scared. He hurt him. He was very scary.
Turns out we might have been off the boil a bit, T.
We started Googling, seriously, we put in fast-running wombats. There's plenty of them.
Heaps of videos on YouTube.
And they are scary. I'm with you on that, right?
No, they're like a little boulder running at you.
So we thought we would delve further into how fast can a wombat run? Roz is from Cedar Creek Wombat Rescue, and she with us. G'day, Roz.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Very well.
Okay, Roz, let's just cut to the chase. Can they run fast?
Yes. Ooh. Extremely fast. It's been known that they can run up to 40 k's.
Wow.
Yeah, they do run. Everyone thinks, oh, these fat, lazy things, but they're not. They're really fast. Very energetic at times.
They pick their moments.
They can be lazy too, but they can run, especially when you're trying to catch them.
And so for Risey to run away with his petticoats held high, squealing, can you understand the fear in him when a wombat was running at him?
Oh, for sure. I've been injured quite a lot of times.
Wow.
When they've actually run at me because they don't want to. We treat a lot of wombats.
Sure.
So. If they don't want to be treated or caught, they will run at you. I've had broken shins. I've had you name it.
Wow. This is just blowing our minds, Ross.
Yeah.
So and a lot of people listening, because unless you knew, you would presume.
Yeah, but what do they do when they catch you? Like, I can understand they run into you and they break something, but then what?
Sit
on you. They run away. It's very... How can I put it? It's not always. I mean, majority of the time they'd rather stay away from you. But if they feel threatened, where I'm concerned, they always feel threatened because I'm always poking and jabbing.
Yeah.
But when there's people in their territory or they just get scared, they either run away or run at you. We've known instances where they've run at people, growled, and then run the other way just as quick.
Ros, it does beg the question exactly what Risey did to make that wombat chase him.
Well, just thinking, Ros, I was in the wombat enclosure. So I was probably like, and I think I was peering into the little tunnel or burrow or whatever.
Yep.
And it came out, and that's when the chase occurred. In my 20s.
And I actually know the wombats there really well too, by the way. They would have just felt really threatened.
Yeah.
He's trying to bite me, I'm pretty sure.
Well,
I reckon he thought you were going to take his pie.
Yeah. He's probably taking food.
Oh, well, look, thanks for clearing it up. And we just want to give you and Kev a shout-out for what all the wonderful work you do at Cedar Creek Wombat Rescue up near Cessnock. Because it
Thank
is
you.
Completely non-profit.
Yes.
You guys do it for love. You do it on the back of donations. So if you can donate, help Ros and Kev out. So you're doing a beautiful job up there looking after
the
wombats.
You'll have to come and have a look.
Oh, Ros, I'd love to.
You got me thinking, Ros, I'm thinking of putting little monkeys on their saddle on and having wombat races. Hey, come on. Your wombat race and a saddle, a monkey.
Why not?
I know.
The Dr. Jerd's Jungle Juice Wombat Cup.
Stop it.
What an idea.
Stop it. Well, they wouldn't let, Ros, true, they wouldn't let us have a bear on a unicycle wearing a fez, so we'll have a crack at this one. Good
Ros,
on you, Ros.
Great
you do great
chat.
Work.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks,
Ros. Thanks for not making me feel like a big wuss.
We apologise, Ros. Don't
apology accepted.
We do the conclusion, though, is regardless, though, he's still a wuss.
It's Tanya and Steve.
Start your day off with Tanya and Steve and save up to $100,000 with the McDonald Jones huge house and land sale on now. Turn it up loudly, 'cause Tanya and Steve is Triple M Breakfast.
Friday and Saturday night. The Exchange Hotel.
Steve's Date My Mate Party.
Oh, right, here we go again.
Yeah, it's happening on April 19, and it is our singles event. So basically, you've got to jump on our website, Triple M Newcastle. You'll find it right there. You have to jump in and nominate a mate who is single. You can be single too, or you don't have to be. Mm. Either way, because they need the moral support.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, always handy if you might mention to them you're doing it as well, or make it a big surprise of the night. Hey, why don't we go to the Exchange? Well, before, no reason.
Well, Stephen at Lochinvar, you have entered your mate. Who is he?
He's Kevin.
How long has Kev been single, Steve?
He's been sort of pretty about 6 years. He's been about single. He's had a couple on and off, but just not having much time to get out and about.
Okay.
Be a good opportunity for him to get out and sort of meet someone, I think.
Okay. Well, you need to sell Kev to the wider audience that are listening right now, Stephen. Why is he a good catch?
He's sort of a happy-go-lucky person. He's alive with the crowd when he's out and about. He's a outdoors guy, loves his motorbikes, camping, fishing. So pretty happy guy to be around.
Has he mentioned to you, Steve, type of woman he's, or would you even know, maybe, the type of person he's after?
Anyone that's nice and kind back to him usually will be good back to them.
Okay, so that's breathing.
I don't think a type, so he's not really much of a type person as long as they're a good, solid person.
Yeah.
And would you have to, are you friends outside of this? Like, would he be in your circle?
Yeah, so we've been friends since we're about 14 or so. So, about 20 years, 15 years.
6 years, Steve. You had a gut full of him third wheeling you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm with you.
So it'd be helpful if it's someone that would get on with your partner?
Yeah. So, like, we're pretty good friends as well. We get out and about, go fishing a lot of weekends and, yeah, you get to do a lot of stuff with your kids, so.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, you're good, mate, Steve.
Yeah, well, we can't wait see you both on April 19 at the Exchange.
Sounds awesome.
Go on, you see.
Well done,
you can
Steve.
Ring Kev now and tell him what he's doing.
Exactly. Live music and DJs every Friday and Saturday night at the Exchange Hotel. It's a great venue for a party as well. We're going to have Ty Penshawn doing all the entertainment, food, drinks, everything we're going to put on. And you just got to go to triplem.com.au and register for Tenure and Steve's Date My Mate if you want to get an invite.
You know what's fun about it? Have you noticed we've only offered 2 invites so far, but it's the time when people are like time poor and they've got kids or they may not even have kids, but it's that time poorness of going out and meeting someone.
Oh, absolutely,
you know?
It is.
And it's tough putting yourself out there, but if we're all in the same room together.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Annoying friends and single people.
Exactly.
Couldn't think of a better bunch.
I think what we're going to have to do, though, I've thought about this, we're going to have, like, we'll have name tags for everybody, but for instance, I'll have my name on a I'll have my name on a red tag.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like a traffic light party.
Yeah, traffic light, because I shouldn't be hooking up because I'm married.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Whereas you'll have your name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you're hosting.
That's
so
right.
You'll have your name on a red tag
red
as
tag.
Well.
No dating here.
I might go Amber.
Yeah.
Just still deciding.
No, I think Risey's good for Amber, actually, because it's like, stop, wait, and think. Think hard.
No, you are going to definitely be on a red.
Yeah, I'll be red, of
but
course.
But if you're
married,
single, your background on your name tag will be green.
There you
love
then
that.
We know.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
That's true.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah, I do like that, because you always need that opening statement. It's like, oh, look, we're both green.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
I see what you mean.
We can go for it.
You know, and even hearing
great
it,
idea.
And we're going to hear more and more and more as we go along. It's a tough call to try and sell a mate.
Of course it is.
I know you can do the basics.
Yeah. Yep.
I know. You're a lovely person, this and that, this and that. It's hard.
Yes.
Oh, I thought he did a rather good job there.
Yeah. Same.
I could sell you easy.
Yeah, I know, but I'm magnificent. I mean, you know, easy peasy tea. I'm talking about, you know, ugly blokes. not good, awful, handsome men with a beautiful personality.
True.
And kind and caring.
True. I've got such a wonderful Picasso canvas to work with.
Just never mention my finances. But, yeah,
fair enough.
It's tough, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think it's easier to sell your mate than yourself, though, which
probably
is why we're doing Date My Mate.
I think I just proved you wrong.
Tanya and Steve are off to build another show for Newcastle. You can save up to $100,000 with the McDonald Jones huge house and land sale on now.